Poor Peter. What a state he was in. He has denied Jesus three times, and now he is going to have to affirm his love for Jesus three times. But we have to begin by asking, what is love? John Lennon sang, "All you need is love," never quite explaining exactly what he was singing about, but people enjoyed the song anyway, so I don't think terribly many people cared. But what is love in this context? Well, there's a sense in which we all know what love is. We have all, to a greater or lesser extent, experienced love, and we love in return. Some of us have the good fortune to be parents or grandparents. If we are, do you love your children and your grandchildren if you have them? And if you do, would you die for them? Would you sacrifice yourself for them? If the house went on fire, would you run out and leave them, or would you try and gather them, take them? There are different kinds of love. And it's this kind of love that's the focus of our attention this morning. You see, in this passage, there are two different words used that in the English are simply translated love. The first word is the Greek word agape, and the second is the Greek word philia. And agape speaks of that love that would lead you to go and rescue your children, or to stop and help a complete stranger who's in trouble. It's a sacrificial love. It's a love that creates value in its object and is independent of the loved individual's fundamental characteristics. In other words, they can be somebody utterly rotten, but you could still die for them. You could still love them. And this is the kind of love that's described in the first letter of John. All through the letter, it's agape. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. Filio is more like brotherly love. The love, the comradeship between close friends. It's often a love that comes in response to somebody else's qualities. We might love someone because they've cared for us, they've looked after us, they've been a good friend to us, they've been a parent to us, they've helped us out. It describes the love between David and Jonathan in the Old Testament. But it's a love that's inspired by something of the goodness of the person that you have this brotherly love for. Now, in this passage, twice Jesus begins by asking Simon if he has agape. And Simon answers twice that he has filio, not agape. And the third time, Jesus asks Simon if he has filio. And Simon answers that he has filio. Never once does Simon claim to have agape for Jesus. Three times he had denied Jesus. Three times he's being asked if he loves Jesus. Let's look at these three times. First of all, in verse 15, do you love me more than these? Who are these? And what does Jesus mean? These are the other disciples. But what does Jesus mean when he asks Simon that question? Is Jesus asking, do you love me more than them? Or is Jesus asking, do you love me more than they do? Or is it perhaps both? What is really important here is to recognize how Jesus addresses Simon. Jesus had already said, you are Simon. You will be called Peter, the rock. But now in each of these three questions, Jesus addresses Simon and does not call him Peter. I wonder why. When Peter had denied Jesus for the first time, he had lied under pressure, simply because he'd been asked a very straightforward question by a wee girl, a maid, a servant. Are you one of his disciples? No, I am not. No. And Simon Peter, the rock, was being battered by three challenges. And after the third challenge, the cock crowed. Jesus turned and looked straight at him. And he rushed away and wept, utterly shattered and ashamed. And so now Jesus addresses him as Simon, not Peter. Simon is standing before his Lord. His title has, for the time being, been set aside. He is just Simon, the weak, guilt-ridden man who had caved in as soon as he had felt fear. And if you read Galatians, you'll see that he does it again. He is humbled before Jesus, and Jesus challenges him, Simon, do you have agape for me, sacrificial love? And Jesus asks that particular question because prior to Jesus being arrested, Peter had said this, Lord, I will lay down my life for you. Now that would have been an act of agape. And so Jesus is looking Simon in the eye and saying, do you really have that love for me? And Simon answers, I have filio, not agape. No longer is he claiming that he could lay down his life for Jesus. And Jesus knows this. This is no longer the thoughtless claim, I will do anything for Jesus because he's my Lord. How many times are people tempted to speak like that? He knows that he can't. He knows that he is weak and vulnerable. He has a very deep affection and desire to serve. But that is a long way from being agape. And Jesus accepts this. And he says to him, feed my lambs. Look after my people, especially the weak and the vulnerable. Teach them God's word. Peter was being accepted just for being himself. And his ministry was being restored. So a second time, Jesus asks, do you love me? Agape. And Simon gives him the same answer. Simon, do you love me? Agape. Yes, Lord. You know that I have filial love for you. And Jesus is reinforcing the point that Simon, at heart, is just an ordinary man in need of his grace. And Simon is honestly admitting that brotherly love, which can be very deep and very strong, is all that he has to give. And Jesus accepts this. He knows the sorrow that Simon has felt. He knows the humiliation that Simon has endured. Jesus knows the deep regret which is consuming Simon. And Simon feels this because he knows that he is not the man that he wants to be. But he does have faith in Jesus, and he does love Jesus. He is standing before his Lord as before a judge, and yet he is receiving grace and is being restored. Remember the words from John's first letter, which are all about agape. Let's imagine we could paraphrase these words and address them to Simon. This is how God has shown his love to you, Simon. He has sent me that you might live through me. This is love. Not that you loved God, but that he loved you and sent me as an atoning sacrifice for your sins. Or perhaps we could read these lines again, and instead of Simon, as I read these lines, you could put in your own name. This is how God has shown his love to you. He sent me that you might live through me. And this is love, not that you loved God, but that he loved you and sent me as the atoning sacrifice for your sins. What a wonderful passage. And Jesus now says to Simon, take care of my sheep. I am the good shepherd, he said in chapter 10 of this gospel, and I am calling upon you to shepherd my sheep. Nourish them, look after them, help them when they stray, bring them back, take care of my people, just as I am taking care of you. Do you have agape for me? First time. Do you have agape for me? Second time. But the third time, Jesus speaks to Simon and he says, Simon, son of John, do you have filial love for me? Brotherly love for me? And Simon felt hurt. Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. You know that I have filial love for you. And Simon knows that Jesus knows. You know all things. Simon knows that Jesus knows that he is being genuine when he says that he loves Jesus. And Jesus, again, is reinforcing. He knows that Simon is genuine when he says to him, feed my sheep. And by this time, Simon knows that Jesus knows his sincerity and faith. And Simon knows that Jesus has accepted him, has reinstated him into his grace, and is reaffirming his calling. But this time, Jesus actually goes a little further. And when Simon says, I have filial for you, Jesus says, feed my sheep. I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and you went wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and somebody else will dress you. And they will lead you where you do not want to go. And by this, Jesus was telling Simon that one day he would be led out to die for Jesus. Once before, Simon had claimed that he was ready to die for Jesus, and he wasn't. He claimed to have agape, and he didn't. But one day, he will die for Jesus. And by that time, he will have agape. And on that day, God will be glorified. Let's be very careful about thinking about sacrificial love for Jesus. Simon thought he had it and discovered very quickly and very painfully that he didn't. Our calling is to be content to love Jesus to the best of our abilities and to pray that God will give us the love we need for every circumstance. And let's trust that this agape, this sacrificial love, will develop in us. We all have it anyway. We would rescue our family. We would rescue a child. We would rescue a neighbor. We would rescue someone, even if we had no idea who they were. That's agape. It's part of what it is to be made in the image of God. But agape to the point where we know that trying to help someone will cost us dearly and our lives. That's something much deeper, isn't it? Let's trust that this sacrificial love, which is the love of God for us, will develop in us as we grow in grace because of Christ's love for us. And John tells us in his letter, dear friends, since God so loved us, agape, we also ought to love one another, agape. And in that letter, John says, this is how we know what agape is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Jesus, in this gospel, says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you, agape. Remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, agape. My command is this, have agape for one another, as I have agape for you. In the letter to the Galatians, the Apostle Paul writes, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. And you can guess the word for love, agape. It's the fruit of the Spirit. In Corinthians, he describes it as a gift of the Spirit. Peter already had agape. There's a bit of it in all of us. He was receiving agape from his Lord and being welcomed back. He already had his faith, but he needed to continue in that faith and obedience and get a lot of forgiveness along the way. His agape for Christ would grow. And so we pray that the Lord will give us an increasing measure of this love for him, for one another, and for the world around us. And in closing, perhaps we ought also to pray that we don't fall into the trap that Peter fell into. May God give us the grace and the wisdom not to test his will and say what Simon said right away. What about him? What's going to happen to him? What does it matter to any one of us what Christ is going to call any of the rest of us to do or how we will reach our end? Jesus' answer to Simon Peter is his answer to all of us. His answer to Simon was simple. You must follow me. His answer to us as individuals and as a church, you must follow me. I like Peter. Not because I'm happy to say that I share all of his faults and worse, but he's never whitewashed in the Bible. Nobody is. What a challenging passage this is. Amen.